that they glorify you as we remind ourselves of what was done and instill this love every day that we continue to experience from you. So we thank you. You are God who is easy to worship. We ask that you just continue to receive glory in this time through the preaching of your good word, through the celebration of lives that we commit to you. Yeah, God, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated.
This week of Advent, we celebrate a season of peace. This is a peace that cannot be achieved through diplomacy and treaties. This is a peace that does not come through self-help and positive thinking. This is a peace which the world does not and cannot give. We seek the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding.
Our scripture reading this week comes from Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Would you please join us in response? Oh, Heavenly Father, Advent peace. Would you please join us in response? O Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious gift of peace. Peace with you, peace with ourselves, peace with others. You sent us your peace in Jesus Christ. If we are not at peace, help us to seek him with all our hearts.
Would you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we come this morning to bow before you, our King, our Lord, our peace. We worship you this morning. We praise you this morning. Lord, you have come to us 2,000 years ago. We pray, Lord, that you now come into our hearts, into this very sanctuary. Oh, Lord, we do desire your peace. Lord, this morning at our morning prayer meeting, our deacon says there are so many angry people in this world. Indeed, it is true. We're angry at each other. Nations angry at nations. Oh, Lord, we do desire that you grant us peace this morning in our hearts, in our society, among the nations. Lord, as we come to hear your word, Lord, we pray that you will speak loudly to us, Lord. Oh, God, we confess that there are times where our ears are dull, our hearts are too hard. So, Lord, we pray that you will give us an open ear, a soft heart, to hear what you have to say for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can I remove?
Thank you. Well, on our Christian calendar, as you know, Advent is four Sundays before Christmas. This morning we have seen that we have lit the last of the Advent candles. As you know, Advent is a season for us Christians to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. His first coming, of course, is Christmas. Christmas tells us that, hey, Jesus is here. But Advent tells us Jesus' coming is very near. Advent is a season for us Christians to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. And Christmas is a celebration of his coming. Advent is all about joy, about love, about hope, and peace, which these four candles represent. The last three Sundays, Pastor Jim has taught us the meaning of joy, the love, and hope that Jesus Christ come to fulfill all of that. Today we want to consider the coming of peace. So I have chosen several passages from the book of Isaiah for our discussion. Do you know that Isaiah is sometimes known as the Christmas prophet? The Christmas prophet. We say that because among all of the Old Testament prophets, Prophet Isaiah is a prophet that spoke the most about the coming of Jesus Christ. So it's no accident that during Christmas time that we hear a lot of quotations from the book of Isaiah. As you may know, much of the lyrics of the Handel's Messiah is inspired by the writings of Prophet Isaiah. So he is appropriate name, the Christmas prophet. So this morning I'd like to use his words to teach us about peace. At the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the angels already announced to us, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." See, Christmas is about the coming of this peace child, you might say. The coming of Jesus Christ is the advent of peace to all humanity. So my title this morning is The Coming of Peace. My outline this morning is threefold: Jesus' name, Jesus' peace, number three, Jesus, our peace. So first of all, Jesus' name. As you know, Jesus Christ has many names in the Bible. In fact, one Bible scholar listed 280 names, titles, and symbols of Jesus Christ. In fact, I have this book as a reference book in my home. But Prophet Isaiah gives us many names of Jesus Christ, generally associated with Christmas. The most common one we're pretty sure of is Emmanuel, God with us, right? God coming, dwelling, or literally living among us. Of course, among the other names, which we are quite familiar, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. The Wonderful Counselor speaks of God's wisdom. Mighty God, of course, his power. Because of his wisdom, because of his power, he's able to bring peace on this earth. Eternal Father, of course, we know what that means. Because he is an eternal Father, therefore, he is able to bring eternal peace, everlasting peace among us. So Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace by Isaiah prophet. So what does it mean? I think first of all, we must know what peace is. Peace is more than just the absence of war among the nations or turmoil or conflicts within our human hearts and souls. True peace is where humanity have the peace of God and the peace with God within our hearts. The Hebrew concept of peace carries the idea of wholeness or well-being. So the advent of Jesus Christ means the coming of wholeness to humanity. Peace is a restoration of the broken relationship that we have with God since the fall of mankind. Furthermore, the coming of peace is different from the world's peace. In fact, Jesus Christ himself said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." It's my peace, Jesus Christ, that infers to us that his peace is different from the world's peace. I will speak of that, more of that on the next point, Jesus' peace. But suffice to say right now that Jesus Christ's peace is different kind of peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. What does that mean? What does that name, Prince of Peace, mean to us? Well, the Hebrew word prince has two concepts or two ideas. The first one is that Jesus Christ is the originator of peace. He is the author, a source of all peace. Jesus Christ makes peace, the scripture says. Apostle Paul tells us that he made peace for us. How? By the blood of on the cross. He made peace for us by dying on the cross for us. Since Jesus Christ is the only source of peace, therefore he is the only person can say to us, "My peace I give to you." Secondly, the word prince also carries the idea of ruler, ruler of peace. He has dominion. He has control over peace. As I said, he is the one that gives peace. Prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament gives us the name Prince of Peace. Well, did you know in the New Testament, Apostle Paul gives Jesus Christ another name. Apostle Paul calls Jesus Christ the Lord of Peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace," referring to Jesus Christ himself, "grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you." So Jesus Christ is the King who comes in peace. He's the one who establishes peace. It is through his peace that we can have reconciliation between God and man possible, and also between humanity. Only when there is reconciliation between God and man, only then it is possible to have peace among nations. So the peace that Jesus Christ offered to us is very unique, is very different. So this leads to my second point, Jesus' peace. As I said before, Jesus Christ himself says, "My peace I give unto you," implies that his peace is very different. So prophet Isaiah gives us his name, but also Isaiah describes for us the characters, the characteristics of Jesus' peace. Isaiah 9:7, the passage that we read this morning, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The seal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." In this passage, Isaiah tells us that Jesus' peace is everlasting, right? It has no end. It's perpetual, you might say. Another translation says, "To peace there shall be no end." We all know that man-made peace are temporary, isn't it? It's only as good as until the next war. Remember World War I? The historians call it the Great War. The war that's supposed to end all wars. Remember that? The Treaty of Versailles was signed and sealed among the warring nations and ended World War I. Yet within one generation, or less than one generation, 20, 30 years, World War II broke out. Is there's no permanency to man-made peace. And how many of us have seen peace treaties signed and sealed and yet broken and violated again and again? But Jesus' peace has no end, according to Prophet Isaiah. It is permanent. It is perpetual or everlasting peace, the scripture calls it. Furthermore, Isaiah says the government of Jesus Christ is of justice and righteousness. We know that justice, righteousness, and peace are often interrelated. These three ideas are linked together. You see, there is no peace until there is justice and righteousness in our society. Peace will come only when people's hearts are right with God or have the peace with God. Peace will come only if there is social justice in our society. Yet today we look around in our society today, there's no peace, there's no justice, there's no righteousness. I know many athletes are protesting. There's no social justice. But they're looking in the wrong place, isn't it? Not standing on the flag is not the solution. The solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today we hear a lot about social justice, isn't it? Not only among Christians and also among non-Christians. Everybody desires social justice. But there will not be justice until there is peace on earth, until there is peace among mankind. See, we cannot pursue social justice without seeking Jesus Christ and his kind of peace. Well, if there is no peace right now, when? Right? Did the angels announce already 2,000 years ago at the birth of Jesus Christ there will be peace on earth? How come there's no peace? When will we see this kind of peace? Well, this kind of peace will come in the future when Jesus Christ comes back the second time in his second kingdom, his second coming to establish his kingdom. We will then see this kind of peace as described by Isaiah. When Jesus Christ comes, there will be universal peace. There will be no more war in this world. Isaiah 2, verses 3 and 4 describes that future society. Verse 3 really tells us the context of this verse. Isaiah describing the future kingdom. There will be universal peace. But notice what he says in verse 4. He will judge between the nations and he will render decisions for many peoples. You know what? He'll be ruling over this earth. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will lift up swords against nations and never again will they learn war. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see this kind of scenario in our society today? See, the universal peace among all the nations. Instead of making instruments of war, mankind will make instruments for peaceful purposes. Unfortunately, we're part of that fallen humanity, right? We have that fallenness within us. Therefore, war is part of us. War has been part of human history since the beginning of time. Remember Genesis 2, it speaks of the creation of humanity, Adam and Eve. By chapter 3, we see the fall of mankind. Sin came into humanity. What happened in chapter 4? Just one chapter later, mankind already learned how to kill. Cain killed his brothers. And since that time, there have been wars and conflicts among mankind. Today, many people hope and pray for peace among the nations. Yet there is no peace. The Old Testament prophet says, "Oh, peace, people cry peace and peace, yet there is no peace." Only when Jesus Christ, only when our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, sits on his throne, there will be lasting peace. In spite of talk of peace among the nations, yet we spend billions and billions of dollars on armament, don't we? Can you imagine the same billions and billions of dollars spent for peaceful purposes? To better our society? But that day will come. Prophet Isaiah also gives us another picture of universal peace in Isaiah chapter 11. You see, universal peace is not just peace among the nations, but also peace among all of God's creations. Let Isaiah tell us it. He can do a better job than I am. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb. And the leopard will lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Isaiah is describing a future society where we'll have peace among all of God's creations. Can you imagine a little child playing in a den among the cobra or the vipers? And the bear grazed together with the cow. Well, bears are the carnivores. They eat meat. And cows eat grass. Yet they live together. This was the perfect world before the fall. This is a picture of peace in the Garden of Eden. But after the fall, the serpent became the first enemy of mankind. Since that time, there have been enmity between mankind and the animal kingdoms. As you know, the natural instinct for survival is very strong among men, among us, as well as among animals. So there's always a constant conflict between mankind and among the animals. Here, Isaiah paints for us a future picture of perfect peace, perfect trust, and perfect harmony among all of God's creations. This is kind of peace that Jesus Christ will bring. This is the kind of peace that this peace child born on the first Christmas morning will bring in his second coming. Not just among peace, among mankind, but among all of God's creations. My third point, Jesus, peace. Yes, Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace by Isaiah. He is the author of peace. He is the source of peace. He rules over peace. He gives peace. Apostle Paul calls him the Lord of Peace. But what does that have to do with us? Paul tells us that Jesus Christ himself is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through 17, for he, meaning Jesus Christ himself, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barriers of dividing wall, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, into a new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came to preach peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. Basically, this is good news of the gospel. The good tidings of good joy that the angels brought on the Christmas morn. Jesus Christ came to proclaim peace. He came to establish peace. He himself became the peace for us. This peace shall offer his body as a sacrifice on the cross in order to establish peace. The word preach simply means to pronounce, to announce. So Jesus Christ came to announce to us the good news of peace and the reconciliation for those who are far away, as far as well as those who are near. Making reference to those who are Jews and those of us who are Gentiles. Let me quickly summarize. Our time is short this morning. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the Lord of Peace. He is the Lord of Peace. He is our peace. But the question I have for you this morning is, Jesus Christ, your peace. If Jesus Christ is not your peace, then the title, Lord of Peace, Prince of Peace, means nothing, isn't it? If you do not have the peace of God, then you can say, well, how do I have, or how can I have the peace with God, or peace of God? Apostle Paul tells us, we have peace with God, what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through him that we can have peace. Well, Jesus Christ already came, then why don't we have peace? Prophet Isaiah tells us, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden from your face, from his face. We have no peace because we have sin in us. This world has no peace because there is much sin and unrighteousness among the nations. So first of all, how do I have peace with God? Confess our sins. Believe in Jesus Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Apostle John writes, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Brother and sister, the Advent season is a time for us to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. The best way to prepare is ask yourself, is Jesus Christ my peace? Is Jesus Christ your peace? And I pray that during this Advent season and Christmas just next week, that you will think on this question. Make Jesus Christ your peace. Let's pray. Brothers and sisters, may I ask you to spend a few moments of silent reflection on this question, is Jesus Christ your peace? If Jesus Christ is not your peace, what can you do about it? Oh, may I encourage you, brother and sister, to receive him as Lord and Savior this day. And Christ promises that he will come into you at this very moment that you open your heart to him. Father, we thank you for the coming of Jesus Christ, our hope, our love, and our peace. Oh Lord, we pray for peace within our hearts and peace in our society. May we and the world learn to seek peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. In his name we pray. Amen. There's a baptism service. Begins at 10:30. So please stay behind after the benediction for the baptismal service. And Pastor Jim's already left to prepare for that. Shall we all stand for the benediction? May the love and mercy of our Lord Jesus, of our Father, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of peace and inner calmness of the Spirit, but with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit for a few moments of silent meditation. And